latest news and views on greyhound racing from around Australia. Racing HQ presents Going Greyhounds.
26-11, Timmy Newbold is there this morning. He's got the reserve rug on and he's straight into the field. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, everyone. On this Going Greyhounds for the second Monday of 2017. I'm in the chair for 3 weeks while Mark Duclos continues on his holiday all around the world. But it's been another big week in greyhound racing over the past week. We'll catch up with Matty Wright, trainer of Lightning Frank, who won the Group 1 Silver Chief at the Meadows on Sunday night. The meeting, of course, was transferred from Saturday night to Sunday night due to the forecasted hot weather in Victoria on Saturday. We'll chat to Dean Swain, who was crowned the 2016 New South Wales Metropolitan Trainer of the Year. Tasmanian trainer Ted Medhurst, who has a number of runners in the Devonport Cup Series, which gets underway on Tuesday afternoon, will join us and have a chat about those runners. And our WA man, Cozzy Pete O'Neill, will join us to preview the Group 3 Birthday Cup at Mandra this coming Friday night. As far as feature races around New South Wales are concerned, over the past week, the Gosford Cup held centre stage on the Central Coast on Tuesday night. And Barking Bad for Michael Eberan won the race, running 29.35, defeating Knight Sprite and Ando's Mac. Winning margin 1 3/4 by 3 1/4. He's a striking black pup by Bella Infrared out of Ebby Miss, and that was his 14th win in his career. He settled second behind Knight Sprite, who was looking to go back-to-back in the Gosford Cup, and he reeled him in over the latter stages and was too strong. Knight Sprite was gallant in finishing second. We'll now head to the Paws of Thunder on Saturday night, as will Ando's Mac, the $1.30 favourite, who failed to really show the ping he has in previous runs. He was good in finishing third, behind the other pair who ran really quick time in front. So the Gosford Cup was a feature race here in New South Wales over the past week, and we head to Wentworth Park this coming Saturday night. The Group 1 Paws of Thunder and Summer Plate are highlighting the card at Wentworth Park this coming Saturday night. Joining us online now after winning the Group 1 Silver Chief last night at the Meadows is young Victorian trainer Matt Wright, whose dream became a reality when Lightning Frank claimed the big one. Matt is online. Good morning, Matt.
G'day, Tim. How are you, mate?
Really well, really well. I would imagine you were still on cloud nine after claiming the big one. How are you feeling 15 hours after the race?
Yeah, it's quite exciting time. Obviously, Tim, with just being hobby trainers and that sort of thing, we don't get the opportunity to race in races like that very often, you know, let alone win one. So, yeah, it's a good experience. The owners are pretty excited too.
Yeah, Lightning Frank, he's a son of Melbourne Cup winner Black Magic Opal and Kirribilli Abbey. He began moderately and was back midfield through the first corner. 30 Talks at that point was highballing in the lead, and unfortunately he went a miss down the back straight when he did have a nice lead on the other rivals. What were you thinking around the first turn when your bloke was back midfield?
Yeah, well, it sort of, Tim, when he got into that little bit of trouble early and obviously 30 Talk sort of jumped straight to the front, it was sort of, you know, going to be margins really. But I think if he can get around the field, he might run a nice second and that sort of thing. And I didn't see the dog break down, but he dropped the back muscle, unfortunately, for the connections and the dog. And we were, you know, sort of lucky enough to be in the right spot at the right time, and he could get around him, and sort of the races, you know, at his peril after that. So, yeah, so it was a shame for the dog, you know, that broke down and the connections of the dog. But that's racing, I suppose, and you sort of got to take your luck when it comes.
Yeah, you sure do. It was very unfortunate for the connections of 30 Talks. He did drop a back muscle, but the news coming through, he did look like he was going to be retired, but they might continue to race him on if he does recover from that injury. Now, Lightning Frank, he's only had the 22 runs, 13 wins and 5 minors. He was unbeaten throughout the series. He's really taken to two-turn racing in the Meadows like a duck to water.
Yeah, he has, Tim. We're sort of in a rural part of Victoria, so we're not, you know, don't get much access to the two-turn tracks with our pups and that sort of thing. So it does take our dogs, you know, when we get them down there, a few runs at the two turns till they really sort of find their feet. And this fella has, you know, it was sort of in the back of our mind, been a big long striding dog, whether he'd handle it or not, but you know, he's really taken to it really well, so you know, impressive.
early on, he did majority of his racing on the one-turn tracks. Did you have a little query that he would struggle getting up to the 500 metres and running it out strongly?
Oh, yeah, it was sort of, you know, always in the back of our mind, but, you know, mainly breeding side, that, you know, no one really knew what Black Magic Apple Pups were going to do, and we had his little brother, and he was, you know, a 400-metre dog, and that was it. So, and he sort of had come through earlier, and it was sort of always, you know, a bit of a doubt, but you can only try him and see what happens, and he just kept on getting better and better, and we kept on raising the bar, and he kept on jumping it, so... he's been a good dog.
Mentioned earlier, he's by Black Magic Opal. He's out of a lightly raced bitch by named Kirribilli Abbey. How did you come about getting the dog, and has he always been well above average?
The owners bought him and the little brother, as I think they might have got him at 4 months or something like that, from Andrea Gurry there at Neil. She's bred a fair few litters, and one of the owners picked this litter out and was pretty happy with the breed, so they went with that, and I've trained dogs from off and on for years, and they asked me if I'd like to train them, and, you know, without sort of knowing, you just say yes because they're good owners and that sort of thing. So so that's how that came about, and yeah, it's probably, you know, basically from the first time we put him around, he always showed he's well and truly above average. But you know, you never know whether they can run, you know, the 500 or whether they're just, you know, short courses or whatever to your trying. But like I said earlier, he's just got better and better, so, and he's a relatively, you know, lightly raced young dog, so he might have a bit of improvement in him yet, hopefully.
A September 2014 whelping, which means he's eligible for the National Derby up here at Wentworth Park in the coming weeks. Yep. Will you come up for the series or stay at home and target some races down there?
I've had a bit of a chat with the owners, and they're pretty keen to try him in Sydney, you know, because of the restricted age and that sort of thing, but it'll just depend on how he pulls up after this race, and he was sort of getting to sort of giving me indication he might need a bit of a let up, but he's also a dog that'll need a trial. Like he likes to have a look at a track, especially for a race of that class. So, you know, if he's not right to get up there and trial in time before the heats, it probably wouldn't be worth taking him, but we'll see what happens in the next few days. We'll let the dust settle and make a decision, but Sydney's probably definitely on the radar, I'd say.
Yeah, the heats are on Saturday, January 28th, so you've got a few weeks to try and get up here and trial. Would you try and trial on a Saturday night before a race meeting, or would you come up to a public trial? What would suit best?
Well, preferably it's sort of something I'll have to make contact with the club and something like that, I suppose, and, you know, just see what the best option is. I know it's going to be pretty hot weather-wise and that sort of thing, so I'm not really sure in regards to the heat policy and that he's up there with trials and that sort of thing. I know down here, if it gets too hot, they cancel trials and that sort of thing, which is, you know, a really good thing for animal welfare. So just got to sort of keep that in mind too, and try and, you know, time it right and get up there and monitor the weather, I suppose.
Lightning Frankie's no doubt the kennel pin up now. How many do you have in work, and how long have you been actually training outright?
Dad's sort of always training dogs there. We've probably been involved in dogs 25 years, I suppose. Dad sort of took a step back there 5 or 6 years ago, I suppose, and I took over and doing them, not full-time, just hobbyist dogs. But, yeah, we've probably only got 6 dogs in work. I mean, it's about 14 dogs here, but most, there's about 5 pets, so we get attached to them, and the ones that don't make it through the gap, we keep ourselves. So, there's probably more pets than race dogs here at the moment, but that's not too bad.
Now, you're only, as you mentioned, a hobby trainer and a young guy, and apart from your dad, any other greyhounds, any other trainers who have been an influence on your career?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're always sort of bouncing ideas off people. You know, down around, there's been some good trainers over the years, like Kevin Muggham, and he had a fair bit of success up that way, and he got us our first few greyhounds, actually purchased them off him, and I mean, guys like Barry Smith, he doesn't train, but he's sort of been in the game a long time, and Steve Elson. Also, the Britton brothers, you know, have always been, you know, helpful when you need to bounce a few ideas off someone and that sort of thing. So, and then you obviously got your vets, Des Fagan in Melbourne, and there's some vets at Terang not far from us that have really helped us out with, you know, all their blood and urine tests and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's always plenty of people you can get advice from, so it's good.
Any other greyhounds in the kennel? I know you've only got 5 or 6 in work that we should be keeping an eye on in coming months.
Oh, not really, Tim. No, there's just a few. You know, we breed a little, you know, every 2 years or so, and they're, you know, provincial dogs are best sort of thing. But, you know, that doesn't matter. House, we're sort of in it for a bit of fun and a hobby and that sort of thing. So they just pay their way, and then once you know, the race and career's finished, we hold on to them until they can go through the GAP program. So yeah, it's really just a hobby for us. So this fella sort of, he's one out of the box for us anyway.
Well, you've had plenty of fun over the past 14 or 15 hours, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the owners are pretty excited still. So.
I can imagine. Good luck in moving forward. Once again, congratulations and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, mate.
There we go, Matty Wright, who trained his first Group 1 winner last night at the Meadows with Lightning Frank, taking out the Group 1 Silver Chief and likely to head up to New South Wales for a tilt at the Group 1 National Derby in coming weeks. It will be a coup to see Lightning Frank lining up here in the next few weeks or so. Joining us online now is Dean Swain. Dean recently fulfilled a lifelong dream when he was crowned the 2016 Metropolitan Trainer of the Year. Dean trained 46 winners at Wentworth Park and held off a late challenge from Mark Gatt. Good morning, Dean. Congratulations on achieving the feat.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you going, mate? Yeah, thanks for that. Really appreciate it.
Now, you're a good leader in the Premiership since probably about July, I think it might have been. But in your own words, you were treading water in the final few weeks of the year. It must have been a great thrill to finally take it out.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it was maybe the last 8 weeks even. I had some definite injuries from some good dogs, good race dogs. Tilly's Boy being one of them, and a few other young ones that were coming through, and a few other injuries and things like that, which certainly made me slow down a bit towards the end, and I was certainly a little bit worried, but had enough legs to hang on.
You've been in the game most of your life. Your dad, Sid, has been a top trainer in Sydney for years. Did you ever think you'd win a premiership? Was it ever a goal of yours?
It's never a goal, to be honest. I mean, it's something I followed. I've always watched, you know, the losing trainers and the premiership winners and that. And to tell you the truth, I never thought I'd ever win one. I mean, because generally since I've been full-time, I've only trained around between 25 and 20 dogs. You know, so it's generally hard to win a Sydney Trainers Premiership if you haven't got a bigger team, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, I had a lot of, you know, really good handy city dogs and, you know, and kept them going and racing, you know, week to week. And, you know, ticked over the wins, obviously, in the placings and all that was required. Look, it's amazing, you know, actually to win it. When I sat back and thought about it, I'd come home and I'd have to say that's probably, for an achievement, personal achievement, it was bigger than winning any of the group races I've won.
That's what I was going to ask. You trained your first Group 1 in 2000 and Group 1 winner in 2014 when Ruta Khan won the National Futurity. How does winning a premiership compare to winning a Group 1 race? Is it a different satisfaction?
Yeah, it seems different because it's like a reward. Like Danielle and I here, we do everything on our own, you know, And as most trainers will tell you, there's a real lot of work, and it's 7 days a week, and it's constant, you know. But you know, you got to love it, obviously, like I do, you know. And like I said, the teamwork part with Danielle and I, you know, that's a big part to do of it. So when you actually get to the end of it and win it, it's an incredible reward, you know, because everywhere I've gone since it's happened, you know, I mean, all the trainers, all the peers, you know, within the ground industry. Yeah, they're coming up and shaking, you know, mine and Danielle's hand and congratulating us. And it's a magnificent feeling to feel that when, you know, you're respected by, you know, all their, you know, fellow trainers.
Yeah, you mentioned Danielle. She's the backbone of the kennel. Your dad, Sid, he's been a major factor in your career. You guys have got a great bond, prone to an argument or two here or there at the racetrack as well.
Yeah, you got that right. Look, you know, I mean, look, ever since I was young, you know, I've been going to the dogs with Dad. And look, Dad moved away a few years ago up towards Lithgow. We talk every day, and, you know, he knows all of mine and Danielle's dogs. He reckons that for the year he's had on the punt back of my dogs, he said he's got enough to retire now as it is, you know, tongue in cheek. look, we really, you know, we talk quite often about preparations and, you know, all different things, you know, about dogs themselves and, you know, pretty much everything I've learnt is from Dad or, you know, and certainly other trainers that I speak to quite often, you know, but you know, it's, you know, there's a lot involved. Obviously, you have to have, you know, good dogs. You have to really have good owners. You know, if you don't have good owners, you're obviously not going to get the good dogs. And it's a lot of, you know, preparation with all that type of stuff, you know. And it certainly keeps us busy, that's for sure.
Now, you were a hobby trainer before turning pro about 5 years ago. What was life back like back then? You were a roofer by trade. I guess this time of year, you're not missing getting up on the roofs in 30 or 40 degree heat.
Yeah, I don't know how I done it, actually, to tell the truth. I had my own company, had about seven or eight blokes working for me, and went for about 12 years after I'd finished, you know, my apprenticeship and the supervisory thing that I'd done before that. And it was really rewarding, you know. It was a lot of hard work once again, you know, but, you know, obviously any trade work, you know, it's tough, you know. And so the thing is that I've always wanted to train dogs full-time, but even the time when I was working, I always had two or three, you know, dogs that I'd done, and obviously because I couldn't handle much more with, you know, the work commitments and all. But and Danielle was working full-time as well at that time, and you know, we were paying off a house and things like that, and it was, you know, it was full on. But like, I've always had, you know, dogs in my life, and then even the short periods of times where I haven't, I've been with Dad and gone with him and the whole lot. So it's integral in everything I've done, you know, virtually from the point I've been born, you know, to tell you the truth.
I remember reading a story, and you mentioned about going through a lean patch, and at the time you questioned whether to keep going. Of course it is part of the game, lean patches and having good runs here and there. So you really need to enjoy the good times.
Oh, geez, you do. You know, it's so important. I mean, I just, doesn't matter where I win a race. And, you know, most trainers will tell you the way I ride them home and how excited I get. And you know, the passion I have for it is incredible. And I just love, you know, having anything to do with the dogs. And with the lean patch, like I said, most trainers go for them. I just had a period there where just nothing went right, you know, and I had, you know, dogs getting badly boxed and a certain amount of injuries and you know, all types of things that went wrong. And I thought, geez, you know, I mean, this better change, otherwise I'll end back up on the roof. So I made sure that I went and put the ladder in my tool bag beside the entrance of the kennel. So every morning I walked down, I seen it and thought, shit, I better get some winners. So it kept me going, you know.
Yeah. Now, old-timer Runway Bono, they were multiple city winners during the year. We've got the Group 1 Paws of Thunder coming up on Saturday night at Wentworth Park. Are they heading to the race, or have you got any others heading toward the Paws?
Yeah, no, I've got nothing for the Paws of Thunder, actually, this year. You know, old Runway Bono is going to go on a summer plate. Old-timer, I'm going to stand him up back over 600 again. He hasn't got the pace, really, to be competitive, you know. But he's such an incredible chaser of a dog. Miss Foxy Lee, she'll go in the summer plate as well. I've got quite a few young ones coming through, and you know, I actually had the one of the favourites to win the very first Paws of Thunder, a great bitch I trained unopposed, and she was going virtually to the lead in the first turn, and I clipped from behind, done about four somersaults, and I was like in slow motion at the time. So yeah, that was my first go into Paws of Thunder, but yeah, nothing this year. You know, like I said, we've got some really smart young dogs coming through for this year, so, which I'm looking forward to, you know, and rebuilding virtually, you know, with some, you know, new ones, like in pups as well. You know, I've got a Fernando Vale double twist pup coming through, and I've got a couple of Where's Pedro push it, so that really good bitch I trained. So they're coming through nice, and I've got another one of Michael Ivers, the stays that I trained for Michael. He's got another bitch here, and we just think she's outstanding, you know, and she's got an incredible amount of ability. We're setting her for the big maiden, the Easter maiden, and she's going to be something special, that's for sure.
Is she named yet?
She's named, yeah, but we'll leave that one for a little bit later on.
We'll have to keep an eye on it.
I don't want to tell you too much. Michael might get the cranks of me.
We'll find it, don't worry. You were telling me you're taking a little break. You're heading up to the Gold Coast over the next few days. You haven't had a holiday for a few years.
Yeah, no, look, it's been 4 years, to tell the truth. And look, I'm going up with my eldest son, Jesse. We're leaving actually tomorrow morning and going till Sunday. It's only 6 days. And Danielle's going to be here holding the fort, and with my good mate Ian, he's going to come over and help. And obviously Dad will pop down too, you know. But, yeah, look, we're going, like I spoke to you the other night at Dapto, I'm doing skydiving with Jesse on the Saturday, and we're going to go to the Magic Millions after that. So I really hope the chute opens, because I really want to go to the Magic Millions, you know, to tell the truth. But he's talked me into it. Every morning I wake up, I kiss the ground, absolutely packing it, you know. But I'll do it with him, you know, for an experience. But I can't say it, I'm not scared, that's for sure.
I'm glad it's you, Dean. Hope you find a few winners at the Magic Millions. Enjoy the break, a well-deserved break, and congratulations again on taking out the Premiership.
No, thanks a lot, Tim. Appreciate it, mate. Talk soon.
Well, a big week right around the country, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah, sure is, Cozzy. The Group 3 Devonport Cup is one of the major features in the country over the next week or so, and tomorrow afternoon, heats will be run at Devonport, all winners going through to the 25K to the winner final in 8 days' time. Leading Tasmanian trainer Ted Medhurst is taking a trailer full of greyhounds to the track, and he's joining us online. Good morning, Ted.
How you going?
Really well. The comeback greyhound, Kune, is one of the headline acts for the kennel. She's shooting for back-to-back Devonport Cups. She's trying to rewrite the history books. She appears to be peaking at the right time. She was a brilliant 25-31 winner at the track last Tuesday.
Yeah, no, she trials leading up to that were very good. She didn't have a lot of luck in the over 1,000 series, drawing wide, and but subsequently to that, her form's been good, and her work's been excellent, and couldn't be happier with the condition.
She's currently $4.80 at tab.com.au, and she's probably in the strongest of the eight heats. She's drawn the four alley, taking in the likes of Zipping Bruiser and Bearville Azza. She had a fair time off during the year. What was a major injury she had for taking that much time off?
She had a severe sesamoid problem in her off hind, and took a long time to get her right, and then she was ready to race again, and she hurt a muscle and in that same leg, and so it just compounded things, and she took a long time to get back, and then she had a couple of starts and found another injury, and so she, this is probably the first time for 10 months that she's actually got a bit of momentum in her career again.
One of the other big guns in the series is Chief Jet Pilot. He's in the kennel. He was narrowly beaten in the Hobart 1000, and he's since bolted in at Hobart. He looks cherry ripe going into the series as well.
Yeah, he's a big, strong brute, and he's just got a bad habit of missing the kick. Probably won't suit him at Devonport that well because it's more of a speed track, but he's a really solid chaser. Couldn't fault his condition either, and if he has any luck at all, he'll be very very hard to beat in that particular heat. As I said, if he can get a crack at him, that'll be the main thing with him. He's going well enough to win it.
Yeah, he's an ultra consistent greyhound. He's drawn box 8. Would you prefer him out there or nearer to the rail?
I'd like him on the fence. He hunts to the fence. He'll go straight for a while, but at Devonport they bunch up a bit before the bend, and if you get the wrong dog in front, they can pinch a brake on you. It doesn't matter how good you are, you'll make ground on them, but you won't run them down, and you'll want to be in a nice position off the back, which he hopefully he will be, but as I said, he dwells at the start, then he drives really quickly, and he's a big strong dog, and if he can get to the fence, he will rally really hard late, and so thus, if he'd have drawn near the fence, I'd have been happier, but he's drawn what he's drawn, and you'll have to cope with that, and so will I.
He, in race 7 on the card, you've got Grand Campaigner Prescribe. He's been going really well. He's been a bit of an iron dog for the kennel. He's a rising 4-year-old. He's got a great record of the track and trip. How do you rate his chances from the four alley?
Look, he won his second last start ago and went brilliant at Launceston, and he copped an injury that night. He's only run back, he was disappointing, but he's going well on the trials, and he's only a run away from hitting top form again, but he's got a shock and draw. Like, he hunts the fence bad, he's not a brilliant beginner, hasn't got electric speed, but he's drawn box 4, and it's a solid field. He'll need luck. If he can get to the fence, he'll be viable. Otherwise, he'll be just bumping and carrying on like he does.
Dark Cassio has drawn better, drawn the inside in race 8. She's up in class. She's run around 25.5 at Devonport. Drawing the inside does bring her into it?
Yeah, that's a really strong field. It's it's probably got 5 or 6 top-class dogs in it. She's a good bitch. She's sadly, it's a reoccurring story with a few of ours at the last 12 months. She's had very big injury problems, but she's come back well, and she's a good bitch. Having said that, she'll want to come out like she means it on Tuesday. If she can hold the fence, she'll hit the line well, and it'll be, as I said, it'll be a good effort to win that race, which she's quite capable of doing.
You've got a seven-pronged attack on tomorrow's Devonport Cup heats. What would you rate the best chance?
Just the two classy ones, as in Q&A and Chief Jet Pilot. Oh, they're in our, you know, I couldn't fault their condition. Both haven't got good draws, but they're both just wonderful dogs to us, and if they can get a crack at them, they'll be the ones to beat, you know, for us anyway.
Ted, thanks for chatting on Going Greyhounds. All the very best of luck in tomorrow's Devonport Cup heats.
No, thanks very much for the call. Bye.
Ted Medhurst, leading Tasmanian trainer. Now we're going over to the West, and on the weekend, the Group 1, or the Group 3 Birthday Cup held centre stage, and our race caller and WA man over there is joining us online, Peter O'Neill. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Really well. Now, who's got Snoop set the benchmark for the night, running a flying 22.43 in the opening heap? The drop back in trip to the 400 metres proved a winner.
Very quick greyhound that's been racing over the 520 metres at Cannington, as you mentioned. The early speed was able to get him across from box number five, which is always an awkward draw over the 405 metres, but landed in front and ran the quickest of the night, 22.43. So very smart dog, nicely bred, has now won 20 times from 47 starts and trained by Chris Holt, who had a remarkable season in 2016, being the leading trainer of both Mandurah and also Cannington.
He's come up with box six in the final, but he's got great box manners and that genuine early burn, so he can overcome the tricky alley.
He can, although there's a lot of speed underneath him. Hello, I'm Leo, and also Max Crawford have drawn 2 and 3, respectively. They both went across to Tasmania recently for the Hobart 1000. Max Crawford's got a remarkable record at the track and looks very hard to beat. Pepper Fire's raced over in the Eastern States, won the South Australian Oaks, has drawn box number 4. West on Bay has early speed. And Lee Flash, I think, has won 8 of 9 in recent starts. Fireblaze is also another very talented, well-bred chaser. So it's an outstanding field, as you'd expect, for the Group 3 Birthday Cup final, which is one of the biggest races on the Mandurah calendar.
Yeah, the box draw, 1 West on Babe, 2 Hello I'm Leo, 3 Max Profit, Pepper Fire in 4, Barbican in 5, Who's Got Snoop in 6, Lee Flash in 7, and Fireblaze in box number 8. You mentioned West on Babe, a kennel mate of Who's Got Snoop, who drew the rails. She's won 4 out of 5 from the inside alley. She's going to be really hard to beat.
She certainly is going to be very hard to beat. A very talented chaser, nicely bred. Trained again by Chris Holt, and as you mentioned, 4 from 5. The inside draw is going to be very helpful for her. There's just so much speed around her. I'm a big fan. I know the time wasn't overly quick, 22.66 for Max Profit. He's won 7 of 8 now over the trip, and his only loss was on debut at the track over this distance when he ran second. But he's just a really quick greyhound, ran third in the Hobart 1000, and I think he's got enough ability and speed to be able to lead this, and if he can get to the front, it'll be very hard to run down.
All right, I'll put you on the spot. What are you tipping?
I'm actually tipping Max Profit. I think Max Profit can win. Who's Got Smooth, I think, has got enough speed to get across from box number 6, and Lee Flash can come across with him as well. So 3, 6, and 7 in the Birthday Cup, and ramifications set a new track record in Heats of the Miata on Saturday night at Cannington, which is a series leading up to the Group 1 Galaxy and also our Perth Cup just around the corner as well.
Looking forward to all of the action in WA over the next month or so, as you mentioned, the Perth Cup and Galaxy coming up. Pete, thanks for coming onto the show.
Have a good new year.
Thanks, Peter O'Neill, our WA man and race caller over in the West. Sean, so that does wrap up Greyhound or Going Greyhounds today. Thanks to Maddie Wright, Dean Swain, Teddy Medhurst and Peter O'Neill for coming on to today's show. And we'll do it all again in a week's time.
Good on you, Tim. We'll catch you then.